Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Driving throughout Northumberland County, there are many lawn signs praising the work of frontline workers, especially those in healthcare. Many people, including Premier Doug Ford, have called them heroes. Countless volunteers have sewn, knitted, and crocheted masks and surgical bags, caps and mask buddies, along with all kinds of other donations to honor their work. Yet nurses across Ontario are not very happy. Over the past 2 weeks, we've watched as protests took place. Nurses are upset with the Ontario government over a piece of legislation that limits their current salary increase to 1%. It was only last Wednesday when an arbitrator confirmed the amount after an appeal. But it is not the amount that has them so upset. It's the right to negotiate a contract fairly and to seek wage parity with other emergency workers. So the union representing nurses has appealed the act, known as Bill 124, to the courts. Manitoba nurses just won their case against similar legislation. Here in Northumberland, a group of nurses were joined by other unions and members of the public outside of MPP David Piccini's office last Friday to make their concerns known. He met with a group of nurses and held a press conference afterwards. On today's show, we're going to go inside that meeting to find out just what was said and what has the nurses at Northumberland Hills Hospital so upset. I'm talking to Sarah Cowan, the president of Local 105, about their concerns and what they mean. She will also share what it is like to be a nurse during this pandemic. She will take us inside the hospital to understand what it is like to be working every minute of every day facing a deadly disease. We will hear how it affects her and her family, and we will hear about the passion and commitment of nurses on the front lines. Here is the first part of my interview with Sarah Cowan. I am pleased to have with me on Consider This Morning, Sarah Cowan, Bargaining Unit President of the Ontario Nurses Association Local 105. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to jump right in. You held a protest outside of David Piccini's office. He's the MPP for Northumberland, Peterborough South, on Friday. Can you tell me how that went?
The rally went really, really well. We were very pleased with the number of people that attended. At the height of attendance, we had approximately 50 people. We felt very supported by the public with the amount of honking and waving that was going on Peter Street. So we felt quite successful with it. We had some seniors that just showed up. They're not really part of any of the other groups that attended, and they wanted to know if they could support us and make signs, and they made signs that said seniors for nurses and walked with us on the information picket rally. We had members of the teachers union, the local labor council, Ontario Nurses Association members from our facility, as well as QP and OPSU attended, and people from other hospitals in the city who work in the city but live and vote in Northumberland. So we felt very, very supported.
So in terms of the total number of nurses that were actually there from Northumberland Hills, how many were there from your local?
From our local, we probably had about 30 members that stayed for, you know, some of them could only come for an hour and others stayed for the whole thing.
Of course. And how many members do you have in Local 105?
So Local 105 is made up of 18 different bargaining units. So from Peterborough, Lindsay, Coburg, Port Hope. So Northumberland Hills Hospital is just one of those 18 bargaining units. And at the hospital, we have just over 200 members with ONA.
So why did you do this in the first place? What were you trying to achieve?
as you know, Bill 124, which is called the Protecting a Sustainable Public Sector for Future Generations Act, limited ONA's ability to freely negotiate contracts and be able to work as a union. They limited our monetary increase to 1% for 3 years, and nurses have not had a raise equaling a cost of living in more than 10 years. It's not just about the financial aspect. Bill 124 goes against the Charter of Rights by taking away our collective bargaining. There's been a charter challenge that was launched in December by ONA and multiple other unions. Interestingly enough, Manitoba also had a charter challenge for this exact same reason, and it was upheld in the courts just this last couple weeks. In 1964, nurses were declared an essential service, which means that we can't strike. And so our only avenue to deal with contract disputes is through binding arbitration, and Bill 124 strips that away from us as well for that monetary components, which includes benefits as well. We've always been compared, nurses as have always been compared for the last 30 years for pay equity to police and firefighters, which is a mainly male-dominated job. And because we are a female profession, we are fearing that we just don't have the same rights and the pay equity. And municipalities are not included in Bill 124, which means that police and fire are not included in Bill 124. And interestingly enough, and to some surprise of Mr. Pacini, the Golden Plow Lodge is a municipal home, so they're not included in Bill 124. And Central Homes, which are for-profit long-term care homes, are also excluded from Bill 124. So it's really not even all nurses who are being held back with our rights for this. It's just kind of splitting us a bit.
Just for the listener's sake, you mentioned an acronym, ONA. That stands for the Ontario Nurses Association. Is that correct?
Correct, it does. Okay. That's right.
That's the overarching body that represents nurses and others across the province. Am I correct in that?
That's correct.
Now, you mentioned that you have not received a cost of living increase, but that doesn't mean you haven't received any increases. You just haven't received any inflationary increases. So it would be usually under 3%. Is that correct?
We've actually been held under 2%. The highest that we've had in 10 years is 1.75.
And that's not been unusual for public service sector, has it?
It hasn't, but police and fire were getting 2 and 2.5% at times.
So what you're talking about, though, with the police and the fire, you're talking about the OPP. They, I understand, got, I think it was
actually,
2.5.
Actually, OPP is included because they're part of the province. It's the town of Cobourg, town of Port Hope, municipally run.
They negotiate with each municipality. Same with the firefighters. They negotiate locally.
Exactly, which means that they're not held under Bill 124.
That's right. But at the same time, that's why they get different levels of increase, because they negotiate differently, whereas you guys negotiate province-wide with the Ontario government, which is a completely different set of negotiations. So I'm curious as to why you think that that's a comparable, because really they're negotiating
because
different.
That's what the government has chosen to compare us with for pay equity.
Okay. So in terms of pay equity, then, you talk about widening of the pay equity gap, and you talk about it in terms of their men and your women. Have you ever had parity with them at all, ever in the past?
We used to, yes. We did have parity with them. But over the last 10 years, the gap has widened.
You did get a $4 an hour pay increase from the provincial government while you've been working under the pandemic. Can you tell me about that and how that's impacted this?
Sure. So the pandemic pay that was brought by the federal government, and the monies was given to the provincial government, has not actually been paid out to anyone in the hospital sector as yet. It was announced on April the 24th and will be retroactive to April 24th. But like I said, it's not been paid out in any hospital sector, and the what we're being told is that they're waiting for clarification from the Ministry of Health as to who is exactly involved with this. There's no question that the Ontario Nurses Association is definitely part of that, and the RNs will definitely get that. But until they have it all sorted out, they're not going to pay it out. So we're not sure when that's going to happen. Mr. Puccini, when we talked to him on Friday, said that we would definitely have the money by the end of the month. But we'll see.
Is that a big concern for you?
It's upsetting because we are constantly being called heroes and they're doing all these things, and yet we don't actually see them. We're not receiving it. So it's just a little frustrating.
The last contract that ended in March for the Northumberland Hills Hospital, registered nurses had a starting salary of $33 an hour and almost $47 at the top end. And nurse practitioners got between $50 starting up to as much as $60 an hour. Some listeners would hear that and think, you know, how can they be asking for more? I mean, there's around 20 to 25 nurses from Northumberland Hills that are on the Sunshine List. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that our job is a very stressful and high-risk job that we do. There's a lot of stress involved. And honestly, Rob, I don't want this to be the focus of our conversation is the money. There's so much more about this than money. But we work 12-hour shifts. We're constantly short-staffed. We have a lot of stress in our jobs, the violence that we face on a daily basis. And yes, it's a daily basis. I'm not just talking about physical violence. It's verbal violence that we deal with on a very daily basis. It takes a toll on you. We're being exposed to all kinds of diseases like this pandemic. You go into your job and you hope that, you know, you're going to have the equipment that you need in order to protect yourself, that you're not going to bring it home to your family. There's a lot more to it than just money.
If that's the case, now you've mentioned a lot of issues in there. Map out these issues so that people understand that it's not just about the 1%.
So when we were with Mr. Puccini, we talked about a lot of different things. And one thing that I'd really like to point out to the public in Northumberland is that while Ontario has the largest population out of the provinces, our nurse-to-patient ratio and our nurse-to-population ratio is the worst across the country. Presently, right now, Ontario has 669 RNs per 100,000 people. Every other province has 828 per 100,000. So that's a huge difference. And then when you add in the extra population that Ontario has, it means that there's far less nurses available to the public. And this is really, really significant to me because RNs have been shown in multiple studies that being looked after by a registered nurse and being assessed, that we're very skilled and trained to pick up subtle changes during assessments that, you know, other professions, while they're wonderful and extremely necessary in the healthcare system, are not quite as trained to do the same thing.
I understand, though, that you're not the only ones that give people care, and there's different levels of people that give different care.
Correct.
So can you just explain that system so that people understand what exactly you're talking about when you're saying that nurses should be the ones?
A lot. In the long-term care homes, you have a lot of what you've heard of PSWs, personal support workers. And these people are helping to do baths and looking after activities of daily living in the home, but they're not trained to do a full head-to-toe assessment, say as an RPN, who's a registered practical nurse, who has more skills than PSWs. They can give out medications. Their scope of practice has increased over the last few years as well, so they're able to do a lot more, particularly in hospital. They can start IVs, and certain medications that they cannot administer through intravenous. But again, they are more skilled than a PSW and are quite great at doing assessments. But the high level of care and high assessment level still is the registered nurse. So when you are, say, going into hospital into an intensive care unit or through the emergency department, the majority of the staff that you're going to be dealing with are registered nurses because they have the skill set and ability for the in-depth assessments that are required in those areas. And we do have our registered practical nurses that work in the emergency department, and they're absolutely wonderful. But they still have registered nurses that are working with them to assist them in areas that they are unable to look after beyond their scope of practice. And then the other level is the nurse practitioner, who has, again, a greater skill set and scope of practice. They're able to order tests and write prescriptions, and their scope is changing as well. And they can, in some cases, act more like closer to a doctor, but not, they still have to work with a doctor, and all their x-rays are reviewed by physicians with them. So they can order an x-ray, but then they need to have another physician to make sure that they are interpreting it correctly. So there are multiple layers of healthcare.
Can you tell us more about the meeting with David Pacini?
So David was really great. He asked me if I wanted to bring some of my coworkers in with me. So we ended up going in with a total of six of us from nurses that represent different areas in the hospital. And our first point, obviously, was that we requested that he repeal Bill 124, and we had a discussion about that, and he just said that, you know, he couldn't morally choose between one set of people involved in Bill 124 and others, so the answer to that was no. But we did move on and talked a lot about the nurse to population ratios and how we felt that hallway nursing, which was a big platform for the Conservative government in the last election, we would need to have a better nurse to population ratio in order to do that. We talked about pandemic pay. And we talked about nurse recruitment and retention, because the nurses that we have who are very experienced and getting closer to the end of their career are nurses that have been through SARS and Ebola and now this pandemic, and it's wearing on them, and they're tired of this and the stress in their jobs, and they're retiring and leaving. And younger nurses who now are required to do a four-year degree are not coming to these rural areas, so it's hard to get people to come here. So we talked about how we need to, you know, try and attract more nurses to our area, because we seem to be losing them. It's a huge problem staffing-wise. We talked about violence in our workplace. We talked about the shooting that happened 3 years ago and how it's still affecting a lot of members of our staff, and how stressful it is to have active shooting drills in the hospital with the police, who are wonderful and help train us for this. But it is a scary thing to go through, and it is very stressful. We did talk a lot too about PTSD and how originally when that bill came out for frontline workers, nurses were not included in it, but we rallied very hard, and after 18 months of fighting and lobbying to be included, we were, as a nursing profession. And that's big, because that means that you don't have to prove that PTSD, just for those who may not know, is post-traumatic stress disorder. So you don't have to prove that it was caused by your job. It's accepted that it is, and that means that you can get the treatment and help and support from the facilities.
When you came out of the meeting, he came out and spoke, and of course he did mention what you mentioned early on, that he framed it as a moral question. You know, there's farmers, there's closed businesses, struggling economy, lots of people are hurting. And then he said several times, we're all in this together. How do you respond to that sentiment?
I agree that we are all nurses are fighting for our patients. I still don't believe that we're getting as much support from the government as we could. And I'm not entirely sure that they always realize 100% what's involved in our daily work lives. The one really encouraging thing that we talked about, and I know that Mr. Pacini had tried to get this going prior to the pandemic, was roundtable discussions with the frontline workers and some administration. And I knew that that was on the horizon prior to pandemic, but unfortunately, because of COVID-19, it's been sidelined. But we did talk about wanting to get that back on the table, so to speak, so that we can all work together and try and make it better for the frontline staff, but also better experience for patients and their families. So that could, you know, increasing, could include increasing the scope of practice. It could include, you know, how we can make things better for patients so that there's an overall follow through that works more smoothly so that patients benefit from all of this.
So he also mentioned that he had worked hard to get more funding for the local hospital. And this is the first time in I don't know how long, over a decade, that there has not been a deficit at the hospital. He fought and got additional beds. I mean, there's been a lot of good news for Northumberland Hills Hospital over the last 2 years, and he's fought hard. How do you respond to those arguments that he makes?
So he's right. He has worked hard. The government did change the funding for medium-sized hospitals, which we are one, and that certainly has made a difference for the hospital and helped keep them without a deficit. But I think there's still, as any situation, there's always room for improvement. So while it did help, you know, it's still room to go. But that's not my field of expertise, honestly. The funding structures and pay for results and all those programs I am aware of, but I don't have the knowledge to be able to speak on those facts.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will go inside Northumberland Hills Hospital to hear what it's like working a 12-hour shift as a nurse during an international pandemic involving a deadly disease. Please stay tuned to Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.